Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. And I have my co-host, Stan Friedman, in the great city of Atlanta. And Stan, welcome today, and hopefully today's show isn't indicative of some of the technology problems we're having today, as our opening tune did not play on the Blog Talk Radio platform.
I was sitting here getting ready to be jamming with Eric Badland's Booker, and it wasn't there.
It wasn't. I clicked. It wouldn't happen. So I apologize for that. And I don't think you're willing to give it a shot.
I'm not
going to
sing
are
it.
You?
No. That's just not happening. Out of respect,
Stan
if
the
nothing
man
else, out of respect.
Stan the man and Paul Segretto. I don't think we're ripe for rap, that's for sure.
Got too much respect for Eric Badland's Booker to try to impersonate him. That dog don't hunt.
You know, Stan, we had a little bit of a break, it seems. We started the year at Franchise Expo South much earlier than normal. We wrapped right into the International Franchise Association. We had a little bit of a lull, but all of a sudden, it seems like things are ramping up in the event world. Tell us a little bit about what's on the calendar in the franchise world.
Well, today, Paul, probably 130 or maybe plus minus 130 of our closest franchise friends are taken to the slopes as the Unconference kicks off today, which is an event that I've participated in the past, hope to again in the future, just couldn't make it work this year. But the Unconference kicks off, so to those on the slopes, hope you're having a great time out there in Utah. And of course,
actually, they have snow this year, too.
Right, there you go. That'll be a welcome sight, won't it? And then, of
a
course,
of years
kicking
ago,
off.
They were in slush.
Kicking off next week, early next week, I'll be flying out Sunday to Las Vegas for the Franchise Times Finance and Growth Conference. And, you know, Paul, just this is an exciting one for me. I actually looked at some stats on the conference and scored the agenda and made note that I don't think I've ever been to a franchise conference that has so many C-suite participants. I mean, if you look at the 30 or 40 speakers that are involved in this program, 11 of them are presidents, 21 are CEOs, 3 are presidents and CEOs, VPs of finance, founders, CFOs. There may be one or two directors that are in the mix, but this is, you talk about a high-level conference, and I guess that's to be expected when it's about finance and growth. Particularly exciting for me is, as everyone who listens to us on a regular basis knows, that usually not more than a couple of seconds past finishing the last bite of my Jimmy John's when we go live every week. And Jimmy John Leto is going to be the keynote speaker at the conference next week. Really looking forward to that.
That should be exciting. I wish I was attending this year's event. Unfortunately, unable to. And I know as soon as you come back from Franchise Times Conference, what's up next on the agenda?
Well, I think the multi-unit will come after that. But a couple other things for the front of the house, which actually is going to be another trip out to Vegas, isn't it? Almost
yes,
back
it
to that. A couple of other things that I just pulled off the wires here, Paul, at the front end today. Noted that Hilton is opening up a new brand, and literally almost a year ago to the date since they announced the brand called True, T-R-U, by Hilton, which is kind of a mid-scale brand. They're forecasting that they're going to have about 60-plus of these open and operating by the end of next year and targeting as many as 200 to 300 by 2019. Great-looking brand. They've got 180 development deals done and 400 units already committed. So keep your eyes open for a new Hilton brand called True as we enter a little deeper into 2017 and into 18 beyond that. That brand's going to be hitting the ground and running with that kind of a growth schedule. I also wanted to call out and once again congratulate one of our longtime stalwarts in the IFA, Russ Frith, and congratulate him again for the IFA Hall of Fame Award. He's got an article in the current issue of Franchising World, which everyone can capture or look at, talking about franchising as the last bastion of capitalism. So that'll be a great read, and you should take a look at that article by Russ Frith in Franchising World. I wanted to also call out and congratulate our friends Tim Courtney and Joel Delva for their Franchisee of the Week being featured this week by the IFA. They say that after winning Cruise One's 2016 Franchisee of the Year Award, that was one of the best days and nights of their lives. So we want to just congratulate Richard Butts for being Cruise One's 2016 Franchisee of the Year. Also, we should just point out, too, a little extra press for this year's Next Gen winner. Daniel Loria of Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, was featured as well in PA Live Online, celebrating again his Next Gen win from the IFA convention. That's pretty much a wrap on the front of the house, Paul. Lots going on, lots upcoming, and we're moving into high gear.
Absolutely, and of course, we're always honored, you know, at the different parts of the world that Franchise Today is being broadcast, and just got a warm hello to both of us from our good friend Richard Davies of Global Franchise Magazine across the pond in the UK. Hello, Richard. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your loyal listenership for certain.
Dickie's listening live. It's after 5 o'clock where he's at right now.
Yep, absolutely. Well, you know, interesting topic today. Who finally let the dogs out? Fact is, we have applied Chicago's incredible culinary scene to our unique brand, and it has sustained a loyal fan following for more than two decades. We've had countless franchise requests over the years, and now we're ready to answer that calling. And that was a quote by America's Dog and Burger co-founder, Manoli Alpogiannis. Manoli, welcome to Franchise Today.
Guys, thank you very much for having me on.
Well, thanks for being there. Thanks for being there from Chi-Town. Always love going to Chicago. Haven't been there for some years. Of course, I was interested in some of the story behind your brand, talking to the great people at All Points PR, and I want to thank them again for being a great supporter of Franchise Today. It's an interesting story, and I really want to get to the point of learning about you, learning about your brother George, because this has been a long trek, and I'd like to learn about the two of you as people, your experience in the industry, and then finally getting to the point of where we are today.
You know, guys, I am very, very lucky to be from Chicago. Because, as you guys all know, Chicago is known for a few things, right? It's known for the Sears Tower, and it's known for being the Windy City. We have, a great busy airport, but we also have the deep dish pizza and hot dogs. And so my brother and I are two guys that have been in the restaurant business all of our lives. We come from a family background, three generations in the restaurant business here in Chicago. And so with my entire family involved in the restaurants, when it came time for my brother and I to join the workforce, guess what industry we took part in? The restaurant business, right? So my brother's a chef. My sister's in the hospitality business as well. And I'm kind of the front of the house restaurant operator.
And tell us a little bit about some of the other brands that you operate in the family business. And then, of course, we'll get into your current brand, America's Dog and Burger.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, my brother is a real interesting guy. He went to culinary school. We worked in my father, let me start off with a little bit of a family background. Both my grandfathers owned restaurants, one in the downtown area, one on the north side, right by Wrigley Field, as a matter of fact. And then my mother's a chef. My father went into the restaurant business as well, opened up an 18-stool diner that 65 years later is still there. It's called the Palace Grill, and my cousin George now owns it, and it's pretty well known. It's an iconic Chicago diner. And growing up, my brother and I used to go to work with my dad, and I remember being 8, 9 years old, going down there and washing dishes and working behind the line, doing kind of the cleanup work. My brother did the same thing. And as he grew up and got more into food and cooking, he went on to culinary school. And he was part of the Chicago culinary scene for quite a while. He used to cook for do you guys remember John Hughes, the director of 16 Candles, Home Alone, and all that?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He was. He used to throw Mr. Hughes's parties and was in charge of all the food involved with all the big events or special dinners. He used to cook for Frank Sinatra when he came to Chicago. And so my brother really had a great career as a chef. But about 12 years ago, maybe, my dad decided to retire, and my father had moved on from the Palace Grill and opened up a typical Greek diner that served breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's in the northern suburbs of Chicago. It was about 300 seats and was a really, really successful restaurant. And my brother decided that he wanted to take over the restaurant from my dad, and that happens. He stopped being the chef and joined the front of the house. And honestly, he is an amazing restaurant operator. And he's one of, I've worked in restaurants all my life. We've covered that, but I've worked for various brands, California Pizza Kitchen. I worked for a Chicago restaurant company called Lettuce Entertainment. They have, I think, 60 restaurants. Mm-hmm. So I've been around for a while. I have never seen somebody that could be the chef, that could work the line, and then have a sport coat and tie on and work the room, the dining area. And my brother does all three of those things. And so that really makes him a unique operator that, like I said, I've just never seen in my entire career.
So tell us about this road trip that took somebody who's already the trifecta. Right, he's got it going on front, back, and typically that, you're right, that usually isn't the case. It's almost like somebody who's really good in sales is usually not exactly the finance guy. You usually have it working for you in one place or the other, but seldom do you see somebody in a restaurant that's front, back of the house and kitchen, customer centric and business centric as well. That's not something you catch every day. I'm interested in that road trip though. That, what, 20 years ago, you guys had gave birth to an idea?
Yeah, so, it's real interesting. So my brother and I, my whole family, we're all real close. Brother, sister, and I are all super close. But when I graduated college back in 93, I think it was 93, my brother had the opportunity to join me on a road trip. I wanted to take the summer off and really explore America. My family grew up taking road trips, but through high school and college, your life just gets a little bit busy growing up. So he was able to join me. I bought a Jeep, and we just drove around America and went to Santa Fe and Albuquerque and Dallas and Houston and L.A. and Vegas and Kansas City, and we drove around America and really got a great taste of what Americans like and what they really enjoy eating. And my brother, being the big foodie that he is, and me just out of college not having deep pockets, when we were kind of short on some cash, we would just go to a hot dog stand and order a hot dog, and he always heard the same thing: what do you want on it? And of course, in Chicago, that you say everything, and everything means seven things, mustard, relish, onion, tomatoes, sport peppers, and pickles, and celery salt. And we just kind of noticed that each city had its own way of making its its own hot dog. And my brother, you know, he just kind of took some notes and wrote down on pieces of paper and napkins and jotted down, you know, what each city did and how they made their hot dogs. But, you know, we had a lot of fun along the way. We went to the Grand Canyon and did some camping, and it was just a really, really good time before we started in our career and really kind of started to have to be serious adults.
So bring that forward. So you traveled the country, and hot dogs, because you were two guys working on a limited budget, were food that you ate in multiple places around the country. And where did that lead to the idea of bringing all those flavors under one roof?
So, you know, it was real interesting. There is a place in Chicago called Navy Pier. And Chicago is known for its iconic hot dog stands. And when Navy Pier was being rebuilt or being built to what it is today, all of those iconic brands didn't want to go to Navy Pier because no one really thought it was going to be that successful. So my brother and I pitched the idea to open up a hot dog stand and really kind of take the place of serving, you know, Chicago-style hot dogs. But as we got involved in it, as we started developing the brand, my brother was like, you know, remember in Dallas we ate and they had that real loose chili? And he started, like, kind of remembering and pulling out his notes from the road trip. And from that, we originally had 18 different city dogs, and we topped them the way you would find them topped in that city. So in Dallas, we stopped at a hot dog stand, and it had some shredded cheddar cheese, chili, and onions on it. When we were in San Francisco, someone had cucumbers, tomatoes, Dijon mustard, and believe it or not, some sprouts on there. And so when we first opened up, we had 18 different city dogs, and it was really authentic and true from our road trip. And that's really where America's Dog first started. As time went on, my brother and I continued on with road trips and started noticing that burgers have their own regional flavors. So in Texas, you might find a burger that'll put onion rings and barbecue sauce on it. And so we incorporated and took just as seriously the burgers, which then gave the next generation of America's Dog, which is America's Dog and Burger, AD&B. And that's what we're working on now.
That's really interesting, especially the way you combine the two big America favorites of hot dogs and hamburgers. And I've noticed that since then, you've actually, with your model, and we're going to talk about the franchise model here in a bit, but you've actually cut that down to a more manageable number of 8 burgers and 8 hot dogs. How did that come about? How did you make the decision? Why was the decision made to actually minimize the menu at this point?
You know, when you think about a menu in a restaurant, you know, our Greek background is always make it bigger, give customers what they want, give them lots of options. But what we found out is that when people were coming up to our store and they had 8 different burgers and 18 different hot dogs, they were overwhelmed. And then you start throwing in, you know, jalapeno popper sides and fries and sweet potato fries and side salads. They would walk in and they were just, you know, stumped. And we started to just slowly cut down. It went from 18 to 12, and then from 12 to 10. And then we looked at our sales mix, and certain things just weren't selling. So it was the thought of the initial motivation of make it easier for the customer and give them what they want and analyze the sell really well. We just took off the menu. And that sweet spot that we settled on was 8 and 8 because all of them sell really well. They were all our top sellers. And the product mix for the back of the house was easy to manage. And we were able to use a lot of the same product in different ways and different recipes. So our stock room shrunk. And eventually, as we started to roll out this new menu that we're working on right now and starting to roll them out, we are eliminating our freezer and making everything fresh. So when you start making everything fresh, then you also automatically cut out some of the products like onion strings, and you figure out ways to make them fresh. And so we just found that the 8 and 8 seemed to work pretty well.
But definitely, you know, going fresh and never frozen certainly lends towards a nice distinguishing factor against, you know, obviously so many others that are in the space, as you say, especially in Chicago with a hot dog on a stand on every corner. And New York isn't far behind, especially when you're adding Jewish delis. And, of course, as we think about that, I think about Stan and I maybe getting in a car one of these summers and hitting every Jewish deli across the country would be interesting, although I don't think we'd be able to move afterwards. But the thought of that really brings a smile to my face, and I know that stands as well. Manoli, take us a little bit down the trek of, you know, getting to the point where, you know, people are saying to you, you know, geez, are you franchising? You should franchise. This looks like a franchise. Without actually getting yet into the franchise model itself, but take us through your mindset, your brother's mindset. You know, I just recently saw the movie The Founder, of course, with Michael Keaton, that was about Ray Kroc and McDonald's. And I remember now thinking about, you know, the McDonald brothers and some of their thought process and how they actually ventured into franchising and actually failed at it. So tell me some of the thought process between you and George as you were saying, you know, maybe we should take this, you know, across the country, having not been in a franchise, so to speak, within the family business before. I'd really like to learn some of your perspective and the insight that came out of those conversations, as I'm sure the decision to move forward in that in the franchise space was probably a lot of long discussions.
You know, it was a very, very long process. And when owning and operating a business, it's so important to really know your strengths and your weaknesses. And one of the things that I know about myself is I really take a long time to make big decisions, and I really like to weigh all the options. So when we knew that we were on to something with America's Dog and Burger, we wanted to expand because we're entrepreneurs, right? But we needed to take look inward and figure out what our strengths and weaknesses were. So we had done several different marketing stunts and press releases and really had a thriving business. And we opened up a second and a third and a fourth location. And as time went on, my staff grew from 7 to, you know, 12. And then at one point, we had over 60 people that I was managing. And as business continued, we really had to think, okay, so we're young, we have a lot of energy, we have figured out our marketing plan, we need to expand this business because that's what drives us. What's the best route to take? And really, we looked at industry leaders and had several conversations over the course of 2 years. So we looked, we spoke to someone like Brian Kyle, who was started Potbellies. We talked to folks at Jimmy John's and got some other feedback about franchising. I spoke to some investment bankers who invested in company-owned restaurant chains and did the same thing with an investment banker who invested in a franchise model restaurant. And at the end of the day, we really went back to who we are and what we like to do. And I know that I like managing a smaller group of people. I know that I like inspiring people and building a team. And I know that I like being in a restaurant. And if I was to open up 50 stores that are company stores, I felt like I was going to be managing a lot of people, and it would take me out of the restaurants. And I thought to myself, you know, I want to attract people and give them the opportunity that I had to own a small business and to start expanding it. And it just seemed logical to go the route of franchising and to give people the opportunity to own their own business, to feel the success, to work hard, and really to start building their own, to build their own business.
Manoli, I think that's really kudos to you and your brother talking to people that were already successful in franchising, because I think that's very insightful and can give you some, you know, tremendous perspective, both the good, the bad, and of course, you know, add the ugly into the mix. What was some of the advice that some of these franchise icons provided you with?
There were some things that they said that really kind of go against who I am, in that they said, you know, when somebody buys a business, they own their own business. So you're no longer their boss. And, you know, currently when you own a restaurant, you know, people follow your direction and take your lead. With franchising, they said, you know, some of the advice was have very, very strong controls. Make sure you do your homework in knowing who your customer is. Make sure that you identify the kinds of qualities that you want in potential franchisees. Make sure that you know the real estate area pretty well, and surround yourself with people who are already successful in the franchise world. So that's really what we set out to do. We started doing a market research study and figuring out who our core customers were and how often they come into the stores. And then we invited those core customers in and did some focus groups on our menu and started tweaking the menu. The other advice of finding who the franchisee is that's the ideal candidate. And we started to figure out that we need somebody that's already been in the restaurant business. Maybe they own another QSR franchise. Maybe they've worked for in the quick serve business, and it's time for them to venture out on their own. So we really identified who the solid potential people are, and want to make sure that they're able to handle, you know, 3 to 5 units. So making sure that they have good management skills. But also having the right controls in place. So everything from having our napkins printed and making sure that we have a central distribution center for the areas that we're planning on expanding to, making sure that our recipe cards are solid and not a lot of wiggle room, making sure that we have checklists that really set the franchisees up for success. But then even pushing it a little bit further is having those checklists in the cloud so that someone can have the same checklist at all stores all the time instead of having it on a Word document that might get altered along the way. So those controls are real important in developing the franchise model. But lastly is having the right consultants in place. So bringing on a really solid, experienced sales consultant to build a great website, to vet the potential franchisee and identify who those franchisees are, and also having a franchise consultant come in and really write the type of manuals that make sure that the franchisees have all the questions that they need answered and give the proper amount of support really for any type of situation that might come around.
You're listening to Franchise Today. I'm Stan Friedman, along with Paul Segreto, talking with one of America's dog and burger top dogs, its co-founder, Manoli Alpogiannis. Franchise Today is brought to you by the Franchise Foundry. where they've been bringing emerging brands to market for more than 30 years. The Foundry fosters healthy, sustainable growth for their clients, the kind that comes from experience. The Franchise Foundry provides both coaching and consulting, a hybrid approach. This delivers more effective solutions for both the franchisor's corporate team as well as for their franchisees. The Franchise Foundry team is also rich in practical hands-on experience and expertise with general business management, operational and change management, digital marketing, and of course, franchise recruitment and development. Plus, the Foundry team can also assist you with creating roadmaps for potential mergers and acquisitions and provide you with the guidance needed to navigate them. Learn more about Paul Segreto and the Franchise Foundry and their expanding list of clients at www.franchisefoundry.com. Franchise Today is also brought to you by FRM Solutions, offering best-in-class CRM and document management software designed specifically for franchising. FRM empowers real-time business intelligence, communication, and collaboration between all members of the franchisor's team and prospective as well as existing franchisees. This enables you to simplify and seamlessly track, access, and manage all messages to and from prospects and existing franchisees, including text. Legal and compliance is simplified, too, with FRM's document management, and even site visits can be digitally facilitated and scored with FRM. Make today the day you give FRM a look and assure that all of your candidate and franchisee correspondence, including text messages, are being permanently tracked and stored in candidate and franchisee records. FRM even provides state-of-the-art digital experiences for your prospective franchisees, replacing old-style virtual brochures. No long-term contracts, multiple upgrades at no additional cost each year, no excuses, just solutions. FRM Solutions on the web at frmsolutions.com. So, Manoli, we kind of broke into the franchise side of the business a little bit. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the franchise footprint and what that will look like and how expansion is going to manifest? You said you're going to be looking for multi-unit operators. You're going to be looking for those with some prior experience that you can learn from their history, what you may expect if they're granted your opportunity. How far out of the Chicago market are you going to venture? Are you going to shotgun, or are you going to be building slowly with concentric circles? How does that look?
Yeah, so we, of course, naturally are going to be expanding in the Chicagoland area. And our plan is to have between 25 and 30 stores between southern Wisconsin, the Chicagoland area, and northwest Indiana. We're also looking at other markets that seem to make sense. So Texas would be a natural, California, Arizona is all in the plan of expansion. But as we start out, we'll be starting out in our backyard. And again, that will be about 25 to 30 locations in this area.
What type of systems do you have in place that have been developed in the preparation for launching your franchise initiative?
So we have what we did was we took a look at the Chicagoland area, and I'm just going to say Chicagoland and include Wisconsin and northwest Indiana in that mix. And we hired a firm and did a study on how many stores the area could handle, and that's where that number of 25 to 30 came up. But then looking at the demographics and really being able to give potential franchisees a heat map of the area, and that correlates with the demographics of our customers. So we've got it down to corners where people are able to look into those areas and really be set up for success. Obviously, you know, they have to do the legwork and be inspired by a location, but we have given enough tools, we believe, so that people can really make informed decisions about their future location. But then, you know, finding franchisees is what we're doing right now, and, you know, placing ads and looking at other franchisees and approaching them and seeing if there's any interest in expanding their businesses and working with us.
From a franchise perspective, we talked about the consumer proposition. Let's talk about the franchise candidate proposition. What makes America's Dog and Burger stand out for someone that might have a little bit of sophistication in the restaurant industry? As you mentioned earlier, you're looking at some individuals that potentially have operated or worked within, you know, certain QSRs. And as you said, the ideal candidate would have some, you know, restaurant experience. So what's the differentiating factor in such a competitive franchise space that you believe will make America's Dog and Burger stand out?
So the question is really finding the right franchisee and making sure that they're set up for success. Some of the things that we have done in the last few years to really fine-tune the operation, we talked a little bit about the operation manual, and we talked a little bit about the recipe cards and the training and the support. Is one of the aspects we haven't talked about is when you buy an AD&B franchise, you get a great culinary support system headed up by my brother. Being that he was a chef and has a, you know, his whole background is a culinary world, you get that support. And on the other side, front of the house, that's where I really step in and provide support to the potential franchisees and setting up their systems, you know, key things that make us unique and is part of our training program. So we feel like that's part of our success is the combination of really good training on the front end and then having some a little bit of a new twist on a staple in the restaurant business, you know, burgers and hot dogs. So we like to be able to provide a slightly updated menu and with a really, really cool interior. So our franchisees are going to be working with the interior that was designed by Gensler Consultants. They're an architectural group, an architectural firm that are wildly respected and successful. And we hired them to design and update our current stores. So it's really an updated look. So we're talking about great training, updated menu, updated interior. And when you think about having a market study of who our customer is and where these stores should be located based on who our customer is, we really feel like we've done a lot of homework to be able to deliver the franchisee a lot of information and a lot of support so that they can manage multiple businesses or multiple locations of the AD&B brand. So we're kind of looking for somebody that, like we said, has had management experience, that has had some financial successes or responsibility that could afford to open up potentially 3 to 5 AD&B locations. And we want somebody that, and we want to work with them when it comes to royalties and upfront costs and make sure that it's, we're really sensitive to making their business as profitable as possible while also expanding the brand and building the franchisor's brand as well.
So let's give our audience, both our live audience and of course the thousands that listen to our show on demand, an opportunity to close their eyes and let them visualize what it's like as they pull up to an America's Dog and Burger location, and then what's it like? What are they going to see when they open the door?
Ooh, that's a good one. It's a really updated look. So we have, it's a real tribute to the Great American Wall Road Trip. So when you walk into the store, you're first greeted by a sign that is hypersensitive to the location. So welcome to Randolph Street, you know, the Randolph Street America's Dog and Burger. And then you go up to the menu and you'll see that store's most popular dog and that store's most popular burger is going to be featured on the menu board, the very top of the menu board saying Randolph Street favorites. You're going to the floor of America's Dog and Burger is a kind of like a darker gray, while the rest of the interior is much lighter. So the cooking line is really a tribute to the hot dog cart. So it has that pillowed stainless steel on the front counter and on the back wall, and kind of like the way that a cart would have a window that closed up the cart, that window is propped up, and that's where the menu boards are. And the interior floor, like I said, is like a dark gray, kind of like a sidewalk. And our benches and tables are designed very similar to picnic benches and tables.
Mm-hmm.
So that, but it's a little more sophisticated. And then our condiment station and our beverage station is, again, like a hot dog cart. So it has a red and white striped awning and a big hot dog cart wheel on it. So it's a balance of the traditional hot dog cart, but at the same time, a real updated, slick look with the brick wall and pictures of my family's road trips and pictures of customers' road trips are also on the wall. A couple of things that are really cool is that we've developed postcards that people could pick up from the wall and fill it out for, to send to somebody back home or to send to a fellow hot dog lover. And if they like, you know, the Dallas doll, they might want to write, you know, hey, had a Dallas dog, you want to try it? And then we have a mailbox in the front so that people could just drop it off and we'll mail it for them, which is a fun little, you know, memory that you could have later on when you go back home or to somebody that you're just thinking of. Might also like a hot dog.
Sure. Sure. Tell us a little bit about, you know, the building. Is it and the space that you're looking for in your site selection process? Is it going to be strictly inline in a shopping center, freestanding buildings, drive through, all of the above? Give us a little bit of insight and perspective on that.
Sure. Well, it is all of the above. So we are currently looking at and have locations in food courts. But, of course, we want to be real careful to make sure that the economics work. And those stores typically are about 650 square feet. We have inline locations, and those inline locations, we have had stores as big as 2,300 square feet. But we've learned from that it just gives too big of a feeling of a it doesn't have the right energy. And we really found our sweet spot at about 1,500 square feet. That 1,500 square feet, we're able to have about 35 seats. And that really does a nice job in setting the feel while being able to accommodate the level of business that is in demand. We typically believe that an inline store in metro areas work well, but we also think that in other maybe not as populated areas where people are driving, so an outlot and ideally a corner location on an outlot will also be great for us at about 1,500 square feet. We haven't done a drive-through yet, but that's definitely something that we are looking into and developing the systems for, having the right POS system and making sure that we have the right menu boards outside is what we're working on right now.
So it looks like
great looking
design
on your website on the adbfranchise.com mm-hmm. site under the real estate tab. You've got quite a bit of information as graphically as well as just linear information about what the locations would look like. I've got a question about the buzz, though. Who are the three guys I'm looking at when I click on the buzz?
Yeah, that is my dad, my brother, and me on there. I think that's the is it the picture
the
where we're in three yellow polos? Yeah. That's the three guys that started AD&V. Yeah, that's my brother and I.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I just thought I'd ask. I had a feeling you were one of the three, but and I knew you weren't the guy in the middle. I just wasn't sure which one was which from there.
Yeah, I'm the guy on the left, and I'm real happy with that website. It really gives a lot of information. ADVfranchise.com gives a lot of information about the buzz and about the real estate, and you know what kind of candidate we're looking for, but also tells our story and making sure that this is something that you want to pursue. That website really, I'm real proud of the effort that we put into that.
Are you guys making any kind of financial performance representations available in an item 19 in your FDD, or is that saved for later?
We do have, so we have, you know, our average store sales, we have our investment, and the items that are in the FDD, our numbers are listed in there for people to view. Yeah.
So you're basing
store volume is right over $1 million. The investment for people is between $300,000 and $700,000, depending on where you're looking. If you're looking at a specialty retail space, like at an airport where everything's unionized, it may be a $700,000 build out. But if you're looking at a food court type store, you know, it's more around $300,000 to build out. When you look at those sales, you quickly figure out that you know it's a nice pro forma that we're hoping to set people up with.
Tell us a little bit about how somebody would learn more, and I guess ahead of that also is. What type of qualifications they would have from a financial perspective to qualify for a America's Dog and Burger franchise?
Our financial qualifications are they have to have a net worth of $250,000, and they have to have liquidity to that. Obviously, they have to have a credit score that'll qualify for a bank loan. And along with that is, again, what we talked about before is the management experience that will lend to the qualifications of getting a loan, but also would make us feel comfortable in moving forward with those candidates.
And how would they learn more? Are you going to be at any upcoming events as you're rolling this out? Has the official launch occurred into franchising? Are you aggressively looking for franchise candidates?
We just started, we just launched the website, adbfranchise.com, and on there, we can fill out an online application. And we just kicked that off 2 weeks ago, so we're really excited about that. In the next month, we will start aggressively pursuing looking for candidates and advertising and marketing and finding those candidates. You know, our growth strategy is one where we really want in the Chicagoland area to find five candidates this year that are going to commit to 3 to 5 locations. So it is more important to us to have a slower growth strategy and make sure that we're picking the right people, having the right locations, and giving them the support that they need. And so, you know, we're doing various recruiting efforts or finding those, reaching out to those candidates by advertising and putting our website out there. Interestingly enough, throughout the years, people have approached us and asked us, is this a franchise? Do you guys franchise? So we already have a database of people that have been interested in franchising, but we just weren't ready or didn't even know that that's the route that we were going to take. So now we're starting to pursue those opportunities.
And will the interested parties being be dealing directly with you and your brother in the franchise sales process?
You know, we brought on a great representative who has a lot of experience in that area. I really want to, of course, meet and know who I'm going, who I'm going to be involved with AD&B. But the vetting process really starts with a great guy that we have, James Franks, who is starting that process. And then once they are vetted and meet the qualifications, then they'll work with George and I and make sure that, you know, we want to work with them, but of course that they want to work with us, dealing with two brothers that have as much passion for business in the culinary world. We want to make sure that everyone is on the same page and wants to work together.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate your time with us today. George, we said hello. We'd love to look back at you maybe a year or so from now and get the both of you on and see how you're progressing along. In the meantime, all of our best. Thank you again for being our guest on the show.
Thank you, but I have one point to make. If you guys
absolutely
go on that road trip, I want to be part of it because I love delis.
Well, we are equal opportunity gluttonists. So anybody that can keep up with us is more than welcome to join us.
There's a place in Philly that I want to check out. We're going to put that on the. We got to put that on the list.
Okay.
My next time in Chicago, I know I'm putting you on my list. So there you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got a deal. That absolutely. You got a deal.
Thanks so much,
Manoli. Thank you very much for having me on.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep.
I appreciate it.
Thanks.
So, Stan, another culinary experience and trek on Franchise Today. A lot of emerging brands popping on the scene. So definitely an exciting time in franchising. It wasn't too bad for you because you already ate lunch. I'm sitting here and my mouth is salivating, and I could use a couple of a good old New York dogs right now with some spicy mustard and sauerkraut. I could certainly
look forward
to that.
I'm feeling a little bit of my guilt right now because I know that we've got Dickie listening from the other side of the pond, and we've talked about upcoming events. Do you suppose as part of the back of the house, we may want to call some attention to the International Symposium on Franchising that's opening in just a few days on March 15th through the 17th in where? London, England. Okay, Dickie, we gave you a shout-out, partner.
There you go. That's great. Yeah, I look forward. We got to get Dickie on the show here in the coming weeks.
I think that'd
again,
be a great
I
idea.
I really want to shout-out to the people at All Points PR as well as our good friends at Fishman Public Relations who are really introducing us to some very unique concepts and unique people as we continue to grow Franchise. Yesterday I hit another milestone, Stan, and I think it's worthy to mention. And that's why one of the reasons I love Facebook Memories. It popped up 8 years ago this week. I started my blog, Franchise Essentials, and happy to have over 300,000 views since then. I think I need to blog a little bit more to go hand in hand what we do with Franchise Today.
How many again?
Over 300,000 views in the last 8 years on Franchise Essentials blog. Now, keep in mind, initially, Franchise Essentials was my company, and I kept the brand as we merged and eventually acquired Franchise Foundry, and I didn't want to lose the brand, so I kept it going and spun the website and that blog originally just into my personal blog. And it's exciting. A lot of great resources on there, as well as, of course, a link to Franchise Today. Good stuff.
Hey, Paul, before we run out of time, we haven't talked at all about next week. in that I'm out in Vegas. I'm going to see what I can do to move my agenda and scheduling around so that I can still make the call. And then the week following, on the 22nd, we've got confirmed Steve Clemente, who is the president of the Primrose Schools, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation. We started chatting in Las Vegas at IFA, and he brings an incredibly interesting background to the franchise and child education space as a lifelong retailer. So that's on the 22nd. What's on tap for next week, Paul?
You know, next week is kind of up in the air. We hadn't had a chance to talk about it because you're going to be out of town, and I'm also
right.
going to be out of town. And we've had, you know, guest after guest after guest that we had talked about next week lined up and seem to be on a go. A lot of them, of course, are going to be in Las Vegas. So unless our friends at Franchise, at Fishman PR and All Points come up with somebody, we may be on hiatus next week. And this is a great opportunity for individuals and our loyal listeners to listen to one of their favorite on-demand shows. But I'm really looking forward to your, you know, visit with Primrose and Steve Clemente, because you'll be live with him. And I always love that live perspective, sitting across a desk or a table, sort of like we did with Aziz Hashim a few months ago when you were in Atlanta together with him, which was a really great insightful perspective. So really some good things coming down the pike for Franchise today. Well, Stan, you travel well until next week or the week after. We'll let you know. My name is Paul Segretto, wishing you the best, the very best, in this great, great thing we call franchising. And Franchise Today is out.
Franchise Pros, Stan the Man, Paul Segretto, Badlands. Franchising today, sustainable growth, sensible franchising. Franchising today, sustainable growth, sensible franchising. Franchising today. Franchising today.